नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री नारद उवाच श्रुत्वा पुत्रो गिरो दैत्या परपक्षसमाहिता जहसा बुधिर्बालानां भिद्यते परबुधिभिः श्रीनारद उवाच श्रुत्वा पुत्र गिरो द्वैत्या परपक्षसमाहिता जहास बुधिर्बालानां भिद्यते परबुधिभिः श्रीनारद उवाच श्रुत्वा पुत्र गिरो दैत्या परपक्षसमाहिता जहास बुधिर्बालानां भिद्यते परबुधिभिः
Ladies.
Shri Narada. Narada Uvacha. Narada Muni said, Srutva, hearing, Putra Gira, the instructive words of his son, Daitya, Hiranyakashipu, Parapaksha, on the side of the enemy, Samahita, full of faith, Jahasa, laughed, Budhi, the intelligence, Balanam, of small boys, Bhidyate, is polluted, Parabudhibhi, by instructions from the enemy's camp. Narada Muni continued, when Prahlad Maharaj spoke about the path of self-realization in devotional service, thus being faithful to the camp of his father's enemies, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, heard Prahlad's words, and he laughingly said, thus is the intelligence of children spoiled by the words of the enemy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Hiranyakashipu, being a demon, would always consider Lord Vishnu and his devotees to be his enemies. Therefore, the words parapaksha, on the side of the enemy, is used here. Hiranyakashipu never agreed with the words of Vishnu or Krishna. Rather, he was angered by the intelligence of a Vaishnava. Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna says, Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. But demons like Hiranyakashipu never agree to this. Therefore, Krishna says, Namam duskritinora mudha prapadyante naradhama mayaya pahita jnana asuram bhavamashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Bhagavad Gita 7:15. The asura bhava, the atheistic nature, is directly represented by Hiranyakashipu. Such persons being mudha and naradhama, fools and rascals, the lowest of men, would never accept Vishnu as the supreme and surrender to him. Hiranyakashipu naturally became increasingly angry that his son Prahlad was being influenced by the camp of the enemies. He therefore asked that saintly persons like Narada not be allowed within the residential quarters of his son, for otherwise Prahlad would be further spoiled by Vaishnav instructions. Om Gyan Timidandasya Gyanan Janachalakaya Chakshurun Bilidham Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juthapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Pitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I am very grateful for this opportunity to be with you this morning. Thank you, Swavas Prabhu, for Tadit Mataji, for making this possible. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5. Entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 6. We find Hiranyakashipu outraged by the words of little Prahlad. But because it was the first time he has heard such things from his son, who was only 5 years old, he's expressing his fury with laughter. How could he take it seriously? Where could possibly a little child learn this kind of propaganda from? Hiranyakashipu, he was such a powerful king at this time. By his yogic austerities, he had attained such powers due to benedictions of Brahma that he had conquered from Swargaloka, from that point up, the entire universe. Interestingly, Hiranyakashipu, it was required that he get his own powers from another source. But then once he got it, he considered everything to be his own. He was grateful to Brahma when Brahma first came, when he had something to ask from him. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Hiranyakashipu was on that Mandara mountain performing such severe austerities, can you imagine standing on the very tips of your toes with your arms raised, without eating, without sleeping, without drinking water, year after year after year, without even moving, without hardly breathing? He was a yogi, powerful. And sometimes it was, Mandara Mountain is high up. In the winter it was freezing cold. In the summer, under blazing sun, millions and millions of ants decided to make an ant hill around him. And he didn't move. Not even as much to go like this. Yes, when we're doing meditation or chanting our japa, if an ant's on our face, usually we go, because we're respectful to the ant, we very gently go. Yes, he didn't do. He had all these millions of ants eat every piece of his flesh and drink every drop of his blood. And he was like, this is his determination. And he became so powerful by these austerities that Brahma had to come. And he had such desires he wanted Brahma to give him. He offered his dandavat pranams. He fell down with such apparent humility. With folded palms, he worshipped with prayers Brahma as being the supreme god of all gods. And then begged for favors. He asked for immortality and unparalleled rule over the entire universe. Brahma said, I can't give you immortality because even I'm not immortal. But Hiranyakashipu was so intelligent. He decided to get it in somehow or other. Give me the blessing, I will not be killed in the day or the night, in the land, in the sea, in the air, by any living being that has ever been created by you, by any weapons. So logically, there was no way he would ever die. And when he got those benedictions, there's never a record that he did any puja for Brahma ever again. He got what he wanted. That was it. Now that he had it, he was so powerful, he was so popular in the sense that everyone had to do whatever he said. He became so intoxicated by false ego, ahankar. He saw everything in terms of janasya mahogya mahammameti. I am this body, and everything in relation to this body is mine. And in this state of consciousness, we fall into the dualities of material existence. This is a friend. This is an enemy. And for Hiranyakashipu, his mentality was, because he was so much in this asura bhava, he was thinking, anyone who is not surrendered to me is my enemy and must be destroyed. Krishna tells in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha isamimasucha. abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall protect you. Do not fear. Krishna is speaking with love, with compassion toward all beings. Hiranyakashipu thought the same way, but with a completely different bhava, completely different mentality. He expected everyone to abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to him. Now Krishna says, Suhritam Sarvabhutanam, I'm the friend of all living beings. Krishna is so kind. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. For those who have rejected him, for those who have forgotten him, for those who live in ways that are totally contrary to his will, he descends into this world to somehow or other show his compassion and attract them back and tell them how to be happy again. But for Hiranyakashipu, anyone who was not totally surrendered to him is his enemy and must be eliminated. And we see that this is not some extraordinarily unlikely mentality. Hitler, same way. Just earlier this year, I was in Moscow, and I gave a lecture at this place right next to the Kremlin. And this particular person was actually a television show I was on. And this person who helped arrange it, he's a very, very influential person in Moscow. And he showed me just across the street was this giant building and how Stalin, he had all the heads of the government living there. And several times a day, people marched. You know, his military would march down the halls, knock on the doors really hard, drag a person out, take him right outside in front of the building and shoot them dead. And all the other government officials, they would see this every day. So whoever remained was very, very obedient because they knew if they said anything, did anything or even thought anything too loud, they would immediately be eliminated. So they lived in total fear. If they had any separate interest than their leader, they were an enemy and had to die. That's how the government was run. That was only 50, 60 years ago. You see, this is like the parampara of Hiranyakashipu. So here, Hiranyakashipu, how easy we forget the favors we're given. Therefore, gratitude is one of the most important qualities of a devotee. We understand that whatever we have, whatever we can give, it's a gift, and we're grateful. And when you're grateful, you never become proud. Ahankar, or arrogance, is a state of consciousness that is totally devoid of true gratitude. We think, I am mine. But a devotee understands everything is by the grace of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada tells the story, Punar Mushtaka Bhava. Again, become a mouse. Whether we're Hiranyakashipu, or whether we're a mother or father of one or two children who don't ever do what we say. Whatever we have, whatever we can do is a gift. To recognize that. Prakrite kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasha. Ahankara imudatma. that whatever we have, whatever we can say, even our power to think is a gift of Krishna coming through material nature. So in this beautiful story of Punarmushtakabhava, Srila Prabhupada tells about the sage who meets a mouse. And the mouse approaches the yogi and says, I'm constantly being harassed by a cat. Give me a benediction. Let me be a cat. So he said a mantra, little puja, you become cat. And the little mouse became a cat. He had claws and he had sharp teeth and he was about 10 times the size he was before. He was really... So the first thing he did, started chasing mice. Rascal, right? Now I could do what others did to me. And he thought, now nothing could stop me. Until one day, dog started chasing him. I'm sorry. I can hide my propensities only so long. So he ran away. He came to the sage. The sage says, "What? I gave you cat body. What is the problem?" He said, "Dog, I want a dog body now." He said, "This is not the solution to your problem, all these material changes." But he made him a dog. What did he do? Started chasing cats. And now he was barking really loud. You see, Srila Prabhupada explains sometimes you go to a place and a house and dogs are barking. Like, I am the proprietor, I am the controller, I am... Who are you to come to my house? Srila Prabhupada said, immigrations in countries are more or less of this mentality. Everything is the property of God, but we're thinking, this is mine. Who are you? Where are you coming from? Until one day, a tiger ran to the sage. Make me a tiger. The yogi said, you know, it's not the solution. There's always something that's going to happen. Do you ever hear that story Prabhupada tells about the tiger? He's going through the forest. And there's a tiny little bird about this big. The tiger could just swallow the bird within a second, like a little tiny snack. But the bird remains on the tiger's back. And wherever the tiger goes, the bird is on his back, calling out, "The tiger's coming! The tiger's coming!" So nobody stays around. Before the tiger gets there, all the deers and all the boars and all the animals of the jungle are always warned about the tiger and they run away. And the tiger can't find any food. He has the power, he has the strength to conquer all, but everybody has this advanced warning, the tiger's coming, the tiger's coming. And the bird is on the tiger's back and the tiger can't reach him. He's going like this, and he's shaking, and the bird just goes up and comes down and won't leave him alone. So even though he's so powerful and the bird is so nothing compared, still, frustration. That's the nature of this world. Whoever we are, whatever we have, there's always some situation to disrupt our life. So here now he's the tiger. And he's really hungry. And he sees his claws and his fangs and his size and his strength. And the yogi says, okay, go, go. And the tiger's looking at him. He thinks, the yogi says, hut, hut, hut. So why are you here? Why don't you go? And the tiger says, because now I will eat you. Such gratitude. Punarmushtaka bhava. The sage said, again become a mouse. The tiger became mouse. So Hiranyakashipu Brahma made him into this great conqueror, but he had no gratitude. Rather, he wanted to conquer everything that was Brahma's. In Brahma's worship of the Lord Vishnu, he wanted to kill. So ungrateful. But everyone had to be grateful to him, otherwise they die. And Prahlad was like that little bird on the tiger's back. Hiranyakashipu couldn't control this 5-year-old little boy. Prahlad didn't have big muscles. He wasn't a good fighter. He was just a son. So here is the beginning of a whole history of animosity that Hiranyakashipu is going to feel for his son. Little Prahlad is going to school. 5 years old. I think in America that's kindergarten age, yes? So Prahlad's just beginning his school. Sandanamarka. They are trained to orient the whole educational system just to indoctrinate children just the way Hiranyakashipu wanted them to be. Teaching them how to identify who is your friend and who is your enemy. How to exploit the most you possibly can from your friends, and how to conquer, destroy your enemies. That was the foundational basis of the whole educational system. And on this foundation, whether it was mathematics or science or sociology or economics, it was all built on that motivation. The little Prahlad, because he had the association of Narada Muni, a great devotee, while he was in the womb of his mother, he heard very carefully Narada Muni speak. He became transformed. That's the power of the association of a great Vaishnava. And by the time he was born, he loved Krishna. And when he went to school, this concept of friend and enemies was such a foreign conception for him. Because he saw everyone as a brother and sister. Aham bija pratapita. He sees that Krishna is the father and mother of all living beings. Mamayavam so jivaloke. Everyone is a part of Krishna. He didn't see anyone in the worldly sense of friend and enemy. He was a loving, compassionate person toward everyone. That was his nature. And this concept of friend and enemy, which is all based on selfishness as egoism, in the material sense, had no interest at all to him. In fact, it totally disgusted him. Because he could see it just divides yourself and it divides you from others. But still, he was very respectful. He honored his teachers. He appeared to be learning so nicely. But what was going on inside? Sandanamarka, they were so proud of little Prahlad that they brought him before his father. And when Hiranyakashipu saw his little son, why did he love Prahlad? He loved Prahlad because Prahlad is mine. He is my son. So he was sitting on his throne, and he takes little Prahlad and lifts him up and puts him on his lap and embraces him and starts smelling his head. This is something we read a lot in the Vedas about smelling children's heads. I don't know if you people do that these days, but it was a way of showing affection. It's interesting because little Dhruva wasn't allowed on his father's lap. But Prahlad, he was picked up by his father, embraced. And as Hiranyakashipu was smelling little Prahlad's head and hugging him, he felt so much affection that tears were falling from his eyes. And Srila Prabhupada explains that he wanted to ask Prahlad the type of question that a 5-year-old little boy could easily understand and answer. He said, "Oh, Prahlad, my beloved son, what is the best thing you learned in school?" He wasn't expecting the answer of Prahlad. Little Prahlad replied, "Tatsadu manye suravarya, tatsadu manye suravarya dehinam sadasam advigna diyam asadgrahat hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gatoya dharimashrayeta." He addresses his father. He flatters him to open his heart a little. He said, "Oh, best of the demons." That's to Hiranyakashipu, that's praise. "As far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who accepts this temporary body to be the self and accepts the things in relation to this body to be mine is embarrassed by miseries like anything. Such a person like you, my father, have fallen into a deep, dark well of ignorance. And in this well of yours, my father, there is no water. There is only suffering and embarrassment. You should give it all up. You should go to Vrindavan, a holy forest, and worship Krishna, Vishnu." That's fearless. Prahlad just explained it to him just like that. He had such compassion for his father that he just spoke the truth. In today's verse, Narada Muni is explaining how Hiranyakashipu, upon hearing that, he didn't know what else to do except laugh. He's totally polluted by the enemy. Little Prahlad is telling Hiranyakashipu to give up everything he has because he's a total ignorant fool in a deep dark well, and he should worship Vishnu. And from Hiranyakashipu's perspective, Prahlad's intelligence was totally spoiled. Now, this is the nature of perception. According to our ego, according to our motivations, we're going to see the world in very different ways. Srila Prabhupada, he gave a whole lecture series on the teachings of Prahlad. There's a whole book, Teachings of Prahlad. Great saints, sages, they have honored and worshipped the words of Prahlad as the highest revelation of pure unalloyed devotional service. Prahlad is one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the greatest authorities of spiritual truth. Hiranyakashipu is listening to the same words, and as far as he's concerned, Prahlad's intelligence is totally spoiled, ruined. Because he's seeing everything from the perspective of his own selfish, egoistic motivations. Prahlad was like that little bird on the tiger's back. So tiny, so frail. But Hiranyakashipu just couldn't do anything about it. And we're going to read in the coming verses how Hiranyakashipu was so envious. Anyone who was not surrendered to him was an enemy that had to be killed, including his own son. He tried to murder Prahlad in every possible human way. Srimad Bhagavatam only explains a few of the methods. But Hiranyakashipu was using his incredible imagination. And he had his armies and his ministers trying to figure out how to kill this child. They tried to stab him to death. They tried to poison him with snakes. They tried to put him in fire, in water, throw him off mountains, feed him poison. And little Prahlad he just wanted to help his father. Just wanted to help his father to become a devotee. Otherwise, why did he keep telling him this stuff? Now, for you and me, if we were just thrown in pits of snakes and thrown in fire and thrown off giant mountains and put in the bottom of oceans and put mountains on top of you and fed fire and fed poison, being constantly harassed, the next time your father asks you, you know, what's the best thing you learned in school, you would probably say arithmetic. And just leave it at that. Yes? But every time, after all this, little Prahlad would come before his father and his father would ask him this question, he would go deeper and deeper into bhakti. Sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam. My dear Lord, what I learned in school is the best subject is the 9 processes of devotional service to Vishnu, because by following them, beginning with hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, one can attain love for Krishna. And my father, unless a fool like you bathes your body with the dust of the feet of Vaishnavas, great devotees who have no material desires, you're simply doomed to ignorance forever. This is after he was tortured in every way. Prahlad never gave up on his father. And at that point, of course, Lord Narasimhadev comes to liberate him. But this beautiful verse that we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam is revealing to us the nature of the Asura Bhav and the Bhakti Bhav, the consciousness of one who is grossly addicted to the false ego and the materialistic conception of life, and one who identifies with the eternal soul as the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And according to Bhagavad Gita, the divine and the demoniac nature is within the hearts of each of us. We have our little Prahlad side, our divine nature, and we have our Hiranyakashipu side, wanting to be the controller, the proprietor, the enjoyer. Maybe not to the same extent, but the principle is to be understood. Is there any questions? Yes, Tattvavet Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you. From what you said, it seems that we as devotees lack the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj in the sense that perhaps we couldn't do what he did, you know, in terms of challenging or instructing his demonic father. For example, we may not be able to, you know, challenge the demons who are trying to control the world. We might give up. We might not have the determination. We might just acquiesce. Could you comment on that, please?
The special quality of Prahlad. He spoke the truth to his father, Hiranyakashipu, as a well-wisher. He had no arrogance, I'm better than you. He had no envy. He had no anger. He was a pure well-wisher. And he spoke the truth. And to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Banda, Srila Prabhupada taught us, we must speak the truth, but we must also very sincerely endeavor to purify our own heart from the very qualities that we're speaking about. Yes? We could speak. Prahlad is telling Hiranyakashipu, you know, I don't believe in this friends and enemies, which creates envy and arrogance and all of that. But if we still have those arrogance and envy within our own heart, we're not going to have the realization. We can even quote the same exact words in Sanskrit, English translations, and Prahlad, but they're not going to have the same effect, because Prahlad really cared. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, it wasn't the words he spoke were purely representing the parampara of truth. But he spoke with the same spirit as Prahlad. He deeply cared. He deeply wanted to transform people's hearts, take them out of this deep, dark well, and bring them to the platform of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, there were two special devotees that Lord Chaitanya said were none different than Prahlad, because they had that same spirit. One was Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was brought before that king and a Qazi, and they were going to kill him because he was spreading the glories of the holy name. And he just told them the truth, that there's one God, God has many names, Krishna has attracted me, and all I could do is chant the names of Krishna and give it to others. They said, then you must die. So do as you like. And after he was beaten and beaten in 22 marketplaces, and they thought he was dead, and they threw him in the river, he came out of the river, and what did he do? He came right back to the king and the Qazi to give him the same message. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are none different than Prahlad. You are Prahlad. And then there was Vasudev Dutta. The only benediction he prayed for was let the sins and the bad karmas of every living entity in the entire universe come on my head, allow me to suffer perpetually for them, and give them all liberation. Give them all your grace, my Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with tears in his eyes, choked up voice, he said, this is not a surprise that you're asking for this, because you are Prahlad. So this is the spirit. The spirit of Prahlad is compassion. And that's why our sadhana and our satsang is so important. To associate with people who really inspire us to go deeper and deeper into bhakti. And to really take shelter of the holy names. And to really take shelter of the wisdom of Srila Prabhupada's books. And to live in this way. To pray for this. And as we actually have, as we are free of envy and greed and anger and arrogance and lust and illusion, then these words have such deep substance because they're with realization. And in that state, Krishna inspires us. Krishna directs us. So for us to reach out to the world like Prahlad, that realization is very important. One time, Srila Prabhupada, it's a famous story. I tell it many times because when I heard it, it struck me so hard. It was kind of like traumatic to my consciousness. I was sitting in a little farm and someone came back and told me that he was just with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was with all the senior-most leaders of our society. There's maybe a dozen of them. And he asked them, each one, personally, do you believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Now, any of us could say, yes, of course. But when Prabhupada's asking you, nobody could really say anything. And Srila Prabhupada said, if the amount of devotees we have today, even just all of you, if you just had that pure love for Krishna, we could transform the whole world in 18 days. So in hearing that, I was thinking, we have to know the philosophy, but unless we really, really go deep into Prabhupada's instructions to really cleanse our hearts, even if a few devotees could change the whole world. That's our responsibility. Yes, Vivas Prabhu.
Hi. Hi, Bhu. You touched upon this word gratitude, which I thought was a wonderful word to ask a question about. And it seems that no matter who we are in Krishna consciousness, we've been able to do what we've been able to do by someone's mercy. You know, from all the way from just coming in as a bhakta, and even, you know, going from that position to another position to another position. even maybe up to the position of being a guru in Krishna consciousness, in ISKCON. My question is, how do we keep that understanding there? Because Prabhupada gives the example that if one doesn't properly follow, then one may even think that he's better than his own guru. He'll just step over his own spiritual master. So my question is, how does that happen? And then the other one would be that, how do we maintain our gratitude to all the devotees that have helped us? In other words, I'm here in the temple and I have a particular position. I was actually given that position by a person or persons. And it would seem ludicrous for me to think that I'm now better than that person or persons when they've given me that opportunity to do some service for Krishna. So how do we, as devotees in Krishna consciousness, how can we maintain this proper attitude of gratefulness in order to make advancement and go on in our Krishna consciousness so that we don't eventually even start criticizing our own guru in our life?
Best way to guard against that is to hear about the nature of the minds of actual advanced devotees. They're always humble and always grateful. Little Prahlad, so absolutely exalted. Even when Lord Narasimhadev appeared just for him, and Lord Narasimhadev liberated Hiranyakashipu, still Prahlad, in his prayers to Narasimhadev, he says, "I'm just a fallen little child of a demon. It's only by the mercy of my Guru Narada Muni that I have been able to do anything good." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he was with Prakashananda Saraswati, he said, "My guru told me I'm a fool. I should just chant Hare Krishna. And therefore I'm trying to execute his order." Srila Prabhupada himself, our own Acharya, founder Acharya, such an exalted, came with nothing and manifested a movement of tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands, millions of books and devotees, and temples. And he would say, "It is all by the grace of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati." So whenever we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the lives of Narottam Das Thakur and the great Vaishnavas, Bhakti Vinod, we find this common theme of humility and gratitude, that I'm nothing. Whatever I am, it's been given to me. So this is all important. That's why hearing Sravanam is very foundational to our spiritual advancement. What actually is an advanced devotee? Advanced devotee isn't a matter of just one's abilities. Advanced devotees is not a matter of one's accomplishments. Advanced devotees is one who actually has this deep humility and gratitude. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tells the world through Rupa Goswami that this seed of bhakti must be very carefully watered. Brahmanda Pramite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. After wandering throughout the universal creation, birth after birth after birth, by the mercy of a guru, one gets the seed of bhakti. That seed has been given to us. It's been awakened within our heart by the mercy of a guru. And that should never be forgotten. And not only does he give us the seed, but he gives us the method and the tools by which to water the seed. He gives us the philosophy by which we understand what's to be done and what's not to be done. Gives us the holy name, gives us the holy scriptures, gives us seva to water that seed. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns us that along with that seed of devotion growing will come weeds. And this is one of the very powerful weeds that you're speaking about, the weed of false pride. The tendency, Lord Chaitanya says, to criticize, to find faults with others. The tendency to think I am the doer. To even think that I know better than my guru, I know better than the great acharyas. And that weed could very convincingly appear to be a truth to us. And we keep watering it and watering it and watering it. But when we read the words and study the lives of the true saintly people, we understand, we can calculate what is a weed. What I'm nourishing, what I'm cultivating is going to destroy me. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this simple verse, Trinadapi Sunichena. We should be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, offer all respect to others and expect none in return, and to be grateful. This weed-like tendency of Hiranyakashipu to take from Brahma and then think I'm better, to act independently. It's very clearly exposed in practically every story of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to be very sincere. And one of the parts of being sincere is to be humble enough to know that this could happen to me. Not only it could happen to me, it will happen to me unless I'm very careful. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Hiranyakashipu, he knows his demon or his party, who has that part of demoniac nature. They know they have demoniac nature. Like sometimes we just cannot realize we are also like part of that Hiranyakashipu parties. So he knows he's demon.
Hiranyakashipu knows,
yes,
he's a demon?
Yes.
He knows, but he thinks that's the goal of life. He's very proud.
Because he knew scriptures, he knows scriptures, what means good, what means best.
He was a great scholar of the scriptures. In that beautiful chapter, after Hiranyaksha, his brother, was killed, he gives incredibly beautiful lessons about the eternal nature of the soul. Actually, if you were to just study that chapter without understanding who's speaking, you would think this is an enlightened sage speaking. Hiranyakashipu was a very highly realized person as far as philosophy. But the problem is he had no gratitude, he had no humility, he had such ego. So he was thinking being the greatest demon is the greatest goal of life. That's why we need the association of devotees to keep us in check. Otherwise, without good association, the ego could take us in all kinds of tangents. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.